Good morning. Message today is about Hong Kong, but don't worry, it's not really about the political scene, but it's really a message about our spiritual disposition, our spiritual battle with what is happening in Hong Kong today. And I wanted to give this message because I feel it's hard to ignore it in Hong Kong. We as Christians in Hong Kong, we have a duty and responsibility to also take up our mantle, take up our cross, and fight this battle. And so I just want to go through today what has been impressed in my heart, a message that I feel is needed in the church, especially when we see division within the church because of their views. So this morning, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father God, I just ask that, Lord, you cleanse our thoughts. You renew our minds by your Holy Spirit, God. You forgive us our sins, and you open our ears to hear your message. I pray, God, for your protection over Hong Kong, over your body, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will awake us as a body of Christ. And Lord, just give us new revelation, Lord, into how we as Christians can really co-partner with you, Lord, to fight the spiritual battle. So the verse today is Ephesians 6:12. And I think a lot of you are very familiar with Ephesians 6:12 already. I will go into that in a bit. But Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So it's clear as Christians that we are not wrestling in the flesh. We are not wrestling on the earthly plane. We are wrestling on the spiritual plane. And I feel that in Hong Kong, we have allowed ourselves, some of us, to get mixed up into the earthly battle. Whether we have a view or not, or whether we're just upset when we watch television or when we see things on the streets. And I just pray that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will really give us a new insight into how we can contribute or how we can partner with God in changing this situation around. I think the first and most important thing is to repent. I think the first thing to repent about is for ourselves, our own sins, our own secret sins, and even for the sins of Hong Kong. Repentance, I think, is the beginning of spiritual transformation. And there are many examples of repentance in the Bible. Self-repentance, to just name one example, King Ahab, right? In 1 Kings 21, so the background to 1 Kings is Ahab wanted a vineyard that was owned by a man called Naboth, right? And Naboth didn't want to sell the vineyard to King Ahab. And so his wife, Jezebel, decided to trick Naboth and lay a trap for Naboth to come to dinner. And she hired people, swindlers, to basically persecute Naboth, saying that he cursed God and he was sent out and stoned to death. And then King Ahab took the vineyard for himself. So in 1 Kings 21, if we go to verse 20, if we go to verse 17, actually, 1 Kings 21, verse 17, you know, the prophet Elijah was around in that time. And it says in verse 17, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. And so Elijah goes down to Ahab and he recounts this to Ahab. And Ahab, of course, he's shocked by this. Right? And so Ahab says to Elijah, So you have found me, my enemy. And King Ahab still finds Elijah as his enemy, but he quickly realizes his wrong. He says, and then Elijah says, I found you because you have sold yourself to evil in the eyes of the Lord. He says, I'm going to bring you disaster on you. I will wipe out your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have aroused my anger and caused Israel to sin. And he goes on and goes on. But in verse 27, we see that King Ahab has a complete change of heart. When Ahab heard these words, out of fear, right? He tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and fasted. He lay sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. Now, I recount this verse just to demonstrate that repentance is a way to also change the spiritual reality. I'm not saying that God is punishing Hong Kong, but what I'm saying is that repentance is a start of shifting spiritual realities of our surroundings. Even in Daniel 9, we don't have to turn there, but in Daniel 9, Daniel gives a prayer and he repents on behalf of the city because of the sins. And God relents for one man of God. And we know in other examples in the Bible, in the example of Lot, God spared a city because of one righteous person. Is there one righteous person in Hong Kong that's prepared to pray on behalf of Hong Kong and to repent on behalf of Hong Kong? For us, I think we ought to turn away from our hatred, our anger, even agreeing or even using fear and intimidation. Now, if we've hurt one another in evil thoughts or anything that we've said, we should come clean with God. And if you're able to, I think we should also repent on behalf of Hong Kong. I think we've all directly or indirectly contributed to the state of affairs. Living in Hong Kong, it's hard to avoid greed, selfishness, envy, jealousy, pride, and lusts of all kind. And we are not unaware of the kind of demonic forces, the influences in Hong Kong. So, the first thing is let us be humble and let us repent. Hello. Let us resist condemning people. Resist a critical spirit and resist the spirit of anger because it does not produce the righteousness of God. Sackcloth and ashes were used as a public sign of repentance and humility before God. And when Jonah declared to the people of Nineveh that God was going to destroy them from wickedness, everyone from the king down responded with repentance, fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Their reasoning was, who knows, God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. I really believe that it's not about the fact that God is punishing Hong Kong. But I think it's about calling God's mercy. And we can pray and we can fast, But first of all, we need to have an inward change in our heart. And I believe that it's from this inward change in our heart that God sees this repentance and this humility in his body of Christ, that he will start to do great things for Hong Kong. It's also from this position that we can disarm the enemy's tactics. The enemy's tactics are here to really divide us and to distract us from the spiritual realities. So let us not lose an opportunity when we talk with people, especially our own brothers and sisters. Let us talk with humility and love. And when we talk to outsiders, those who are not part of the body of Christ, let us talk with comfort and with peace. We just never know when God might use us to preach the gospel. And it's in this time when the gospel really needs to be preached as well. So the first one is to repent on ourselves and on behalf of Hong Kong. The second one is also to realize that this is a spiritual battle. So the title of today's message is Ephesians 6. And I think it's really timely and really important that we realize this is really a spiritual battle. It helps us focus and unite as a body of Christ rather than divide ourselves into which views and what who has done wrong and who has done right. We put aside these political and personal views and affiliations because we want to put God's kingdom first. Now, I said humble ourselves before people, repent. But I never said humble yourself against the enemy. If you want to be angry and if you're fired up, direct that against the enemy, the true enemy, and not the sons of men, whom God may be trying to redeem through you, through us. How do we engage in the spiritual battle? Well, at Solomon's Porch, we've been going through a season of spiritual gifts, and I think it's no coincidence that Pastor Sam and the other pastors have been leading us in this season of spiritual gifts. We all have spiritual gifts. You know, in Joel 2, in verse 28 to 32, it says, God's Spirit was poured out. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your younger men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This verse from Joel was also quoted in Acts. I really believe that, well, in this church, we are not cessationists, and we believe in the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit that lives in us is giving us spiritual gifts to fight a spiritual war. You know, when Paul was preaching to the churches, he always said, he has no powerful words. But Paul was powerful because he had the Holy Spirit with him. So remind yourselves, ask yourselves, in this season, what were the spiritual gifts that that God has bestowed on you? Is it this gift of intercession, where we can start praying? Is it the gift of healing, you know, physical healing, we can start praying? You know, not too long ago, I was walking with a brother, and we were having lunch with a coworker, and she had carpal syndrome in both her hands. And we said, during the lunchtime, we said, can we pray for your hand? And we were in the middle of a public park. It was a bit embarrassing. But we said to ourselves, you know, we need to be faithful. We need to exercise our gifts. We might look like fools. Her hands may not be healed. But we need to try. We need to start exercising our spiritual gifts. And what better time and what more important time it is now to exercise our spiritual gifts. You know, when I heard about what happened in Tai Kwu Sheng in Hong Kong, I went out to the city, to the shopping mall where I believe the evil happened, and I started doing a prayer walk. A prayer walk to really destroy the enemy's foothold. Now you can do the same where you live, where you work, wherever you walk on the streets of Hong Kong. If you pass by a scene, you don't have to be sad. You don't have to be discouraged and you don't have to fear. What you need to do is to take up your spiritual authority in Jesus Christ and start breaking down the strongholds of the enemy around Hong Kong. If your gift is teaching, start teaching. Teaching biblical things, not teaching political views. And perhaps your gift is evangelism. And I said, what better time now than to start using that gift of evangelism? So many times we're called to bless our enemies. And I really think that one thing we forget is that everybody needs healing. And that's the third point. Healing is needed for every single person in Hong Kong with what we're going through, even ourselves, with what we're witnessing. Healing is needed rather than anger. And the writer of Proverbs said, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And this is in Proverbs 15. You know, silence stops many arguments. Now, we can either choose to run the other person down, or we can choose to listen more. And if you want to keep an argument going, you just need to respond in a harsh tone. But I remember during our men's retreat, we were very blessed to have Dr. Sam Huddleston speak with us. And one of the things he said, which really struck a chord in my heart, was he said, when he is approached by somebody, or when he meets somebody who he knows has a different view from him, maybe he's trying to ridicule him as a Christian and trying to challenge the faith, he has to ask himself, do I want to leave this person more blessed, or do I want to leave this person angry at the sake of preaching the gospel and preaching what's right? Because he is totally entitled to preach the gospel. He's totally entitled to mow down every single argument that a person, and this was an example he gave, a person that he met in the hotel was trying to bulldoze him because this person was drunk with wine and he wanted to argue about Christianity. But what he chose to do was to leave this person more blessed. He left him with a question. Can't remember what the question was, but I remember that his point was he left the person in a state where he was curious about Jesus, but this person was not encouraged to bring more animosity towards the faith. I think that is so profound and so important. It's our attitude when we reach out to people, when we talk, especially to our brothers and sisters. Now, it may not be in Solomon's Porch at all, but I do know, talking to my other Christian brothers and sisters in other churches, that churches in Hong Kong, there have been parts of the congregation that have left the church because they didn't like the message, or they felt the pastor didn't take a side, or they felt their own brothers and sisters didn't take a side in what we're experiencing in Hong Kong. And it really grieves me. It really grieves me, and this is why I'm giving the message today. I really wanted to avoid giving any message on this, but I truly, sincerely felt that when the body of Christ is divided, it really grieves the Holy Spirit. It really hinders us from doing and carrying out what God intends us to do. Don't worry, I've got permission, and I have vetted this through one of the church board directors, board members. So, when we want to heal people, how do we start practically? Well, if you have the gift of healing, you can start there. But I think on a more practical level, can we also talk with our brothers and sisters, or even non-brothers and sisters, and people outside the church, talk to them about real topics like their family? How are you doing? How is your family? How's your job? How's their relationships? Show you really care about the person rather than about their views. And this is my personal belief. I think point number four is, when the church is united, it really unleashes a heavenly power and authority to destroy the enemy's schemes and attacks. As Christians, we know that Jesus has won the war. He has disarmed the enemy. But we're also reminded in the Bible that the enemy continues to throw his fiery darts. He continues to attack us. And so sometimes we have a tendency to just pray and say, God, the victory is yours. And we just almost passively say, we just pray that your victory will be here. We pray your kingdom will come. And I just wonder whether or not we can actually pray that and also take part in this battle. But in order to take part in this battle, we need to be united. Now, Paul spent a lot of his time in his ministry trying to unite the churches because there was so much division, even in the times when the early church was being birthed. And I think this was recorded in the Bible because he knew, and God knew, that this will continue in the churches. And it's even more evident now that we are experiencing so much stress. Now, in Ephesians 4, it says, the title is Walk in Unity. And Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. My belief is that we need to focus now more than ever on the spiritual aspect of the battle rather than the earthly or natural aspect. That is becoming a true distraction and a trap by the enemy. We know that the enemy's tactics, one of the main ones is division. And it just so happens that Pastor Sam, during EMP this past week, was teaching about Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the war and demonstrating to us how the enemy was using the tactic of fear, the threat of violence, to discourage people, and then ultimately the tactic of division. Even Paul said, and he gave his reason, Paul understood how the devil uses these matters to trouble the people of God. And he had to deal with these problems in the early churches. Now, I think we just need to start asking ourselves and just asking God, you know, individually and corporately as a body, what we can do. And I think it all starts with a repentant heart. And I think rather than continuing with the message, I just want to end with a prayer. And I think that it will be good if we can all, whoever is listening to this message, really ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in what it looks like when we individually take up our responsibility to fight the spiritual battle, what we can do. And how, when we talk with our brothers and sisters, we can remind them, if they forget, that this is a spiritual battle. So I'll just close in prayer. Father, Lord, you sit enthroned in heaven, Lord, but you are also with us. Who else is like you, God? Who else is like you? You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the King of Kings. Lord, we want to humble ourselves. We want to humble our inner man. Because we want to receive your forgiveness, Lord, for the things that we have done or the things we have not done through our inactions. Lord, just renew our minds. Restore our spirits, God. Lord, we repent from the things we have done wrong. We turn away from the wrong vision and the wrong thoughts. We just ask for your godly wisdom, your revelation, God. Lord, we pray for Hong Kong and we repent on behalf of Hong Kong as well. We repent from the greed, from the pride, from the hatred, from the anger. Lord, we call for your mercy, God. Lord, build us up as your body. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Ignite our spiritual gifts and fan into flame these spiritual gifts, God, as we partner with you to fight this battle. We partner with you and your angels. We don't want to be a hindrance to you, Lord, in what you're doing. But we want to be co-partners with you. We find this a privilege, Lord, to fight alongside you. We must do that united. So in every interaction, Lord, remind us that church unity is where the true power of God is demonstrated. Lord, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every day, your goodness is running out.
Solomon's Porch, let us move ourselves into a place of intercession for our brothers and sisters and their loved ones. Let us pray for cancer that has beset some of our church members and some of our church members' loved ones.